I know it's half the church up here, but that's why we had to move some things off the stage to get them all up here. But praise the Lord for that. All right, kids are gone. Kids are going. Going, going, and gone. Rest of you, take your Bibles. Go to Revelation 20, please. Revelation chapter 20. It really is to be great to be a Christian today. Amen. It is great to be saved. Amen. I've been around almost 69 years now, and I've not found anything better than salvation. Anybody find anything better than salvation?
No.
I haven't found anything better than salvation. I really haven't looked that close for anything better than salvation. Once you get salvation, you realize how good it is.
Amen.
And how good you have it. As a Christian, I hope and pray that you're saved today. If not, you're in the right place at the right time, and you can be saved.
Amen.
The title of today's message is a little, maybe you'll find it a little odd or strange. I don't know. Every preacher tries to name or put a title on his message or sermon. And today's message title is simply this, The Future. The Future. Revelation chapter 20, if you'll stand with me, I'm going to read the entire chapter, and then we'll get into it. You know we all have a future?
Yeah.
Every one of us have a future. Nobody is exempt from a future. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I don't know what your future is like. I know what my future, I know some of the things that are in my future. There's a lot of things I don't know. And there's a lot of things you don't know that's in your future. And we're going to discuss some of those things today. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 1. I will read, you follow along. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark, upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Father, bless the message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Father, I pray that you would help me with this message. You know what we all need here today. I pray, Lord, that I would only say what you want said. I pray, Lord, that you would remove from my mind what you don't want said here today. I pray that every heart would be attentive in listening to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God today.
Amen.
Father, every one of us have a future. And Lord, you've shed some light on that future in your Word, and we're so grateful and thankful for that.
Amen.
Lord, bless the message and use it now. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. I just read something that is going to take place in the future. When I was thinking about this, the Lord gave me this message a few days ago, and I've been working on it. God did not have to tell us anything about the future. But He did. Right? Think about that. Now, I know the Word of God is about one-third prophetic. So that's about 30% of the entire Bible is a prophetic book. Deals with things that either have already come to pass or still things in the future that haven't come to pass yet. There's a lot that hasn't come to pass yet. We read through the book of Revelation. I'm almost done. I got one more chapter and then I'm done with the New Testament. I only have the book of Malachi and I'm done with the Old Testament with my Bible reading for the year. But when we read the book of Revelation, God has blessed us with a whole lot of things coming up in the future. Now, do I understand everything about the prophetic eschatology that's coming? No, I don't. I don't understand everything. I've got a lot of learning to do. It's not my forte. Some pastors or preachers or missionaries, or I should say evangelists, they study prophecy all the time. I don't. This Bible is too big just to pick one thing and study that all the time.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
I like to have a general knowledge of the entire Bible. And that's what I focus on. So I don't spend a lot of time just focusing on prophecy. You say, but preacher, we're living in these last days. Shouldn't you do that? I don't think so. It's written down. God has given us some things. And there's a lot here that I still haven't grasped. I don't understand it all. But I do know this, that we all have a future.
Amen.
And I know you have a future.
Amen.
And I have a future. Now, my future, I know where I'm going to spend my eternity. I took care of that almost 52 years ago when I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. My future is blessed.
Amen.
My eternal home is heaven. I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Amen.
I have no question in my mind.
Amen.
That when I die someday, that I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord. That I have a home, a mansion, however you want to put it, being prepared for me. And I just believe that God is going to bless us in the future with an amazing eternity. And we are so blessed today. 2,000 years ago, God sent His only begotten Son to this world to be born in a manger and went from the cradle to the cross to give us hope of eternal life. And in between the cradle and the cross, He lived a perfect, pure life and performed hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of miracles. But something we all have in common is we all have a future. The amazing thing is that God didn't have to tell us anything, as I just said a minute ago. But He gave us a whole lot of Scripture that deals with the future. You ever read the book of Ezekiel, and Daniel, and Isaiah, and all of those prophetic books of the Old Testament? Some of us, we go through them and we kind of like, what is he saying there? What does that mean? We call them the minor prophets and the major prophets. And it doesn't mean that the minor prophets are less important than the major prophets. It's just in content.
Amen.
Major prophets are the prophets that have written large books of prophecies that deal with Jesus Christ and the end times. The minor prophets are the smaller prophetic books in the latter part of the Old Testament that deals with a lot of things that's prophetic. It's just they're minor in content, certainly not minor in importance. Do you know how the world is so focused today on the future? The world is focused on the future. I think like never before. I have two magazines I just got this past week. I'm going to share something with you here shortly about that. But we know that the world is just focused on the future. There's financial things going on in the world that everybody is concerned about. Inflation is skyrocketing. Prices of everything seems to be going up. Have you priced a dozen eggs lately, folks?
Yeah. Oh,
no. More than $4.
Yeah, yeah.
I would recommend that everybody buy a chicken. What, Kathy and I was talking about this the other day. What we're going to do in the springtime is we're going to get a bunch more chickens for our coop back here.
Amen.
And if you'd like to help with those chickens, we'll share the eggs with you.
There you go.
Might take a little work on your part, like cleaning out the chicken coop once in a while. But I'll give you the tools to do it. Maybe help with the feed that we buy periodically for the chickens. But if you help us, we might give you a dozen eggs once in a while. But the prices of everything seem to be going up. And so financially, we have people that do financial planning. Some of you recently may have gone to your financial planner and you've discussed your 401k. I have nothing like that to discuss, so I don't even know, need to go and discuss it with them. We have a little savings, account. That's our future. Whatever. When that's gone, we're gone, I guess. But people are concerned about that. They're concerned about their retirement. We make these future plans in our own personal lives. I'm beyond the retirement age, but when I was getting closer to the retirement age, I was thinking about retirement. I was thinking about the future. Retiring from the bus garage and some other things, but not here yet. I'm not thinking about doing that. Matter of fact, I don't think I'll ever retire from the church. I think I'll resign and just step aside and let somebody else take over. Because I don't want to retire on God.
Amen.
The priests never retired. They just stepped aside and somebody younger came in and took over. I still want to have a job for God to do something out there in the world when I do decide to step aside. I will be honest with you, it's something that I am praying about. I have to. I need to. You know, I need God's wisdom in that, in this whole thing. It's something that I have already started praying about. And I think that God has revealed some things to me, other things I have no clue yet. But we're always thinking about the future, aren't we? There's the political issues of this day, and already they're talking about the next election, the 2024 election. There's employment issues that people deal with. And maybe this new year coming up, 2023, maybe you'll change jobs. Maybe you're looking at a different job, whatever. I don't know. Maybe you're going to finally get a job. Some of you need to get a job. Amen. But there's employment things. There's retirement again. And we're always making plans for future events. How many of you are planning a trip in the future? A trip. To go on a trip. Come on, Rachel. Some of you are... We've talked about a trip we want to take here in the next few months, maybe. And some of you have shared with me some trips. We make plans for things like that, don't we? We plan ahead for our vacation sometimes. Some of you do. You've got a certain amount of time for a vacation. You get 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever. And so you think about, let's see, when can I take my vacation? And so you want to make sure that your boss knows that. And you're making plans maybe to get away, go somewhere, whatever. We do that. Come on, we do that. That's just something that we do. Maybe you're making plans to upgrade your vehicle next year. Maybe you're making plans to upgrade your house. Maybe to make some improvements on your house. To do certain things around the house that you've been putting off. And so maybe this next year you'll be able to do some of those things. You know what I'm saying? We're always planning for the future. I just received this. I get Newsmax magazine. Anybody get Newsmax? Newsmax is a very conservative newspaper, magazine. Very conservative. The Newsmax organization is a very conservative. They're more conservative than Fox News. You like Fox News? Newsmax is better. I'm just trying to wake you up here. In a little longer, I won't have any future around here at all. I got this in the mail. I get this monthly. And the December's Newsmax magazine says on the front cover, Armageddon moment. Four horsemen of the apocalypse. Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. Threaten nuclear catastrophe. On the front cover of Newsmax magazine. The article in there's several articles, but this one here is The Race to Armageddon. The world edges closer to nuclear conflict. Can the U.S. defend itself? And, of course, it has a wonderful picture of Mr. Putin sitting in his chair. But, folks, this is the future. Things like this is the future. And with those four enemies of ours, Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, we are headed, thank God we're not going to be part of it, but this world is headed for a nuclear catastrophe.
We could be.
We just don't know what the future holds, but you know what? We all have a future. It's another magazine I just received this past week, and it says this, End Times Invasion, Zion's Fire. End Times Invasion, how the battle for energy in the Eastern Mediterranean may lead to a military invasion prophesied in Scripture more than 2,500 years ago. Some amazing articles in here about that particular subject, about the pipelines and just off the coast of Israel is a major natural gas pipeline that runs thousands of miles up into Europe. And it's just, it's incredible when you think about the future of this world. There are only two scenarios in every single person's life that affects your future. You're either saved or you're lost. That's it. There's no in between. If you're saved, your future is very, very hopeful and very glorious. If you're lost, if you paid attention to Revelation chapter 20 that I just read, that's where you'll be. That's where your future will take you. It's to the great white throne judgment. You'll be judged for your works. You'll be judged without Jesus Christ. You'll be judged without God. And you'll be cast into the lake of fire. I don't like that future. Again, you're either saved or lost. It's either heaven or hell. That's the only two destinies that there is mentioned in Scripture. I know other religions come up with other things, but it's just man's religion.
That's right.
Man's ideas. There's no such thing as purgatory.
Nope.
There's no such place as just, well, you die and you cease to exist, and your soul just goes to sleep until some future judgment day. That is not mentioned in Scripture at all.
Amen.
You're either going to be in the presence of God for all eternity, or you're going to be separated from God for all eternity. That's the future that you're looking at. Again, saved people, praise the Lord. I don't have a thing to worry about.
Amen.
But if you're not saved, you have plenty to be concerned about.
Amen.
You better get saved.
Amen.
You better trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Is there a nuclear war in the forecast? Probably. Could it affect all of us? Yeah, it could. We may be here, we may not be here. I don't know. I don't know how all of that's going to work out in the future. The Bible does have some verses and passages of Scripture that alludes to a nuclear holocaust in the future. Exactly when that is, we don't know. But I'm telling you right now, the world is ripe for it. I think in that article somewhere, it talks about how many nuclear warheads America has compared to Russia. Russia has us beat on nuclear warheads. Almost 1,000 more than we have. China's a lot less, but they're creeping up. Iran is less, but they're creeping up. You can't trust these other countries, these regimes that want to control the world. You can't trust them. Go over to Luke chapter 16. One of the best scenarios in Scripture that you will find of two different futures for two different groups of people is found in Luke 16. In Luke 16, starting in verse 19, I'm going to read verses 19 right down to the end of the chapter. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." Isn't it something that the dogs cared more for him than other people did? "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus evil things. But now what? He is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." In other words, they have the Word of God. Let them refer to the Word of God. Amen. Do you remember one person about 2,000 years ago that was born, lived, and died, and rose? Yep. There's over 8 billion people in the world today, and the majority of them could care less about Jesus Christ. Amen. To them, to the majority, Christ is only a curse word, a derogatory thing to say when they get all upset and mad at somebody. Jesus Christ died for them on the cross.
Amen.
Jesus Christ gave His life so we can have eternal life. And so there's the future of two different people, the saved and the lost. The lost, when they die, they immediately open their eyes in a place of torment called hell. That's where they go. I believe that Luke 16 is exactly the way it's written. It's not a parable. It's not an allegory. It's not a story that Jesus tried to put in there. It's an actual thing that is taking place, that Jesus told us about it to warn us.
Amen.
Don't try to make it into some theological thing that it isn't. A lot of religions have done that. Well, that's not really what he was talking about. Oh, no. You can't get more specific than that.
Amen.
You got a man's name mentioned by Lazarus, and he's never used a man's name or a person's name in any parable ever in the Bible.
Amen. That's right.
He's using specific people, specific places to give a specific message.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
The future of Lazarus, he's comforted. Oh, he had a horrible life. He was a beggar. He laid outside of this rich man's mansion trying to just, can he get a few little leftovers to feed himself? He was sickly. Nobody cared about him. They didn't pick him up and take him off to a hospital or to a homeless shelter. They didn't do anything for him at all. The dogs came over and started licking his sores, feeling sorry for him. The rich man's inside enjoying all of the food and pleasures of his life, his rich life. Because Abraham and Abraham's bosom, and that's a whole different sermon, we won't get into that, but that's where people died before Jesus rose from the dead. Abraham's bosom. A place called paradise. No pain, no suffering at all there. I believe it was in the heart of the earth. I believe that hell was on one side and Abraham's bosom was on the other side, and there was a great gulf fixed in between. And they couldn't get back and forth, but they could see, apparently, or hear, or know what was going on, apparently. So Lazarus, he's comforted. He's having a grand old time. Jesus tells the rich man, hey, look, you had your time upon the earth. You had your glory, you had your fame, you had your fortune. But you're in torments now. You're suffering. You see the two different futures that's possible and available? Mm-hmm. Do you know that you choose your future?
That's right.
You say, well, I can't choose my future. Well, there might be some things here in this life that you can't choose from this point on, but you choose your ultimate future.
That's right.
In eternity. You make that choice. God has already made the choice for you by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. He did all the work. Really, you don't have to do anything except believe. Repent and believe and turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you, and you'll have heaven for all eternity.
Amen.
You'll have a good future. I don't know what your future's like here on this planet until you die. I don't know what mine's going to be like. Really, I don't know. We don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Things can change drastically overnight.
Right.
Things can change drastically by a phone call. By a doctor's visit. Things can change that rapidly in our lives.
Amen.
But I do have hope for my future.
Amen.
And that hope is in Jesus Christ. Now, you have to make that choice. You choose your future. You choose your destination. Do you want heaven or do you want hell? It's your choice. You choose that. God made the choice for you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? He
Amen.
Made that choice
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
God did not make hell, did not make the lake of fire for you, for humans. He made it for the devil and his angels, the Bible tells us. But when we choose our future and we don't choose Jesus Christ, we choose to go to the place that was created for the devil and his angels.
Right.
Yep.
What's your future like? You know the answer to that. I don't. Young people, what's your future like? You think you have a lot of time on this planet. And maybe you do. I don't know. You might have all of these aspirations, all of these goals in life, career opportunities, marriage, family, whatever. You might be just asking God to bless your future and to give you the right spouse and to give you the right job and to put you in the right place. And you need to be praying about that, but what is your eternal future like? You might be young, and you might be vibrant, and you might be healthy, and you might be saying, I got years before I get to the age of Pastor Fenton. I don't have a thing to worry about. You have more to be concerned about than you realize.
Amen.
That's right.
Children, teenagers, young people die every day.
That's right.
Every day. The sad part is so many are not prepared for their future. They're trying to prepare for their life future. They're talking about retirement and vacations and jobs and careers and family. And they're making all of these future preparations for this life, but they're failing to make any preparation for the next life. When people die, it's going to be a rude awakening for many. They thought they were preparing for their future. And they were preparing for their lifetime future here. But they failed to prepare for the next future. I haven't gotten into the message yet, really. So I'm going to save that for tonight. I have about 8 things. I don't think you want me to go through them now. Can we go through them now? Tonight I do. I want to get into the prophetic area of the future prophetically. What does the future hold for us Christians? What does the future hold for this world? We will get into that more tonight. We will talk about the rapture. We will talk about the 7-year tribulation period. We will get into the Antichrist. I'm not going to tell you who I think he is because I have no clue.
That's right.
Matter of fact, I don't care who he is. Too many people are running around trying to think, who's the Antichrist? I don't know, I don't care.
Amen.
When's he going to be revealed? Where is it? What country is he from? Is he going to be this? Is he going to be that? I don't know, and I don't care. Because as far as I know, I'm not going to be here when he is revealed. We'll talk about the peace treaty that's going to be signed with Israel. We'll talk about how the Antichrist breaks the peace treaty in the middle of the tribulation. We'll talk about the severe persecution that takes place with Jews and Christians during the 7-year tribulation period. We'll talk about the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? I really don't know what that is either, to be honest with you, but we're going to talk about a couple possibilities. We'll talk about the end of the tribulation when Jesus Christ returns from heaven with all the saints and establishes his kingdom. We'll talk about briefly about the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. So you're going to get all that in tonight? Maybe. But folks, we have an amazing future. I have an amazing future. If you're saved, so do you. You have an exciting future. You know how exciting your future is going to be? To enter into heaven someday, to enter into glory someday, to spend time with Jesus Christ on this planet during a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Do you know how good that's going to be and exciting that's going to be?
Amen.
Boy, we have so much to look forward to as a Christian. So much to look forward to. Sometimes I just rack my brain trying to take it all in, and my little tiny Terry brain can't take it all in. And neither can your tiny little whoever you are brain take it all in. You just can't. It's too much. But I'll tell you, it's going to be good for those of us that are saved. But remember, if you're not saved today, you have a future too. And you're planning your future, whether you know it or not. My advice to you is if you're not saved, is to get saved right now. Trust Jesus Christ right now today before you leave this place. Because if you walk out of here and you don't do anything with Christ and something happens between now and when you do, if you ever have that opportunity, your future is very bleak, very grim, very sad. I don't know if God sheds tears over the people who die every day without Him. I've heard people say that He does. I don't know. He may. He's not willing that any should perish. He sent His loving Son to this earth to be born in a manger, to live that perfect life, then to be tortured, nailed to the cross so you can have eternal life. I'll tell you this, I think it bothers God greatly for people that reject Jesus Christ and think they got a better way to get to heaven. There's no better way to get to heaven than through Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection, the gospel message is maybe what you need today. I don't know. Father, bless the invitation. You know who needs to be saved here, Lord. I don't know. Most everybody in this room I know, most everybody I know has given some kind of a testimony of salvation. Lord, You look beyond what we mention with our mouths, and You look in our hearts, and You know exactly where we stand with You. If there's a lost person in this room, or maybe somebody's listening online today, Lord, I pray that You'd get a hold of their hearts and souls. I pray, Lord, that You would convict them of their need to get saved. We all have a future, Lord, and You've told us, You've shown us in Your Word what our future could be like as a saved person and even as a lost person. So, Lord, we pray for You to move and work upon us right now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Please remember you have a future somewhere. That future is either heaven or it's hell. Amen. Well, I'll be here tonight unless the Lord comes back between now and then. We'll continue this message tonight. I think you'll find it interesting. If you don't come, you won't hear it. So, I'll be here. Joe, thanks for being with us today. Judge Peter from Trinity Baptist Church up in Rochester. Appreciate Judge coming here playing his violin.
Amen.
Fiddle, song.
It would sound better if it was violin.
Oh, hey, it sounded good to me. I don't know. I'm going to put you on the spot here right now. Okay? I want you to... Someday, I want you to come and give your testimony here.
You're the boss.
I know I'm the boss. Thank you. I want to tell you how he learned how to play that. Some of you know the story if you're close with the family as we have been. But he's got an amazing testimony.
Amen.
And I want him to share that with the church sometime.
Amen.
All right. Hey. Thanks for coming today. Enjoy the snow this afternoon. Get out and make a snow warrior or something. A snow girl or something. I don't know. It's not